the OTB Podcast Network.
On Friday, it was announced that the GAA Special Remote Congress had voted to allow the GAA 16-member Management Committee to declare that special emergency circumstances exist which make it impractical to conduct the affairs of the association in accordance with the rules, essentially giving the GAA some flexibility to respond quickly to the evolving crisis. And I'm glad to say Alan Milton, the GAA Director of Communications, is with us this morning to tease out exactly what this means. Alan, good morning to you. How are you getting on?
Good morning, Jerry. All good. Slightly surreal, but getting on with it like everybody else.
I think we all are, definitely. How did Friday's special congress, what were the practicalities that come out of it? How will it actually manifest itself into the future?
Well, in essence, the management committee of the GAA will now be authorised to maintain and to change structures of the competitions if it's a requirement going forward. Whereas previously, the GAA would have had to convene a special congress to do that, or a congress arrangement, and that just wasn't deemed practical in this day and age. Even Central Council, which is a far bigger group, so there would have been there could be upwards of 40 to 50 people on a Central Council call. So to discuss the minutiae of different championship structures would be very, very difficult over this type of technology. Simple practical stuff like people speaking over each other or how you were to facilitate the whole thing poses lots of challenges. So the management committee is a far smaller and far more compact group, and they will now have the authority to study things and to work crucially with CCCC, who make all of the GAA fixtures.
Okay. In terms of the realistic possibility of us seeing some action on the GAA field this year, there was certainly a lot of defeatist talk from people over the course of the weekend. I think in response to Minister Simon Harris saying that he doesn't see any mass gatherings happening in 2020. What's the organisation actually feeling about this? Are you hopeful that there will be some action on the field of play this year?
I'm certainly hopeful. I think you're right. The weekend represented something of a water change if those sentiments are to ring true. To the best of my knowledge, what we heard is not official government policy as of yet, and we'd expect it to be communicated differently if it becomes official government policy. Having said that, the Minister for Health has a responsibility to citizens to outline what he sees are the threats and the realities that all citizens of Ireland have to face, not just sporting people. I think it's really important to make that point, Chair, that, you know, we all get caught up in the minutiae of sport, but there's people with far bigger issues at hand, frontline workers and people with sick people and their families. So I think there's an element of perspective required. I think most people who have watched this and followed the story would accept that club activity is far likelier to return earlier. And that's very obvious as to why that might be in terms of smaller crowds turning up to watch games. Although I did joke to somebody over the weekend, if there's a Junior B game on here in my club, there'd be 500 people at it in the morning. But I think the inter-county game is going to necessitate a very different conversation. And it's not just Gaelic games, it's sport. And it's not just sport in Ireland, it's global sport.
Yeah, totally. And I think we're all completely open to those conversations. Like, can you talk to us a little bit about what the scenario planning is at the moment? Like, and I'm not asking you to fly kites, but just like, what are the potential scenarios on the table? Is playing behind closed doors something that will be thought about? What would that involve? Is it worthwhile doing that? Is it possible that we don't have All-Ireland Championships, but that we have some other competitions played this year? The point you make about 500 people showing up for a Junior B game, like, we're all, notwithstanding the context, but we are all dying to see something happen. So if anything can be organised, it's better than nothing.
Yeah, well, I think our scenario planning was based on two different things. The first one was the amount of time that we might have to play competitions. And the second one was what format they would have to take dependent on the time that we would have. So you would take the finals and work backwards to see how many weekends you would have. And I think it's easy to draw the conclusion that you wouldn't be able to facilitate round robin group stages at quarter final in football or round robin group stages in Munster and Leinster championships for hurling. So in that scenario, you're looking at two potential models in my view. The first one was the traditional backdoor system that we had, or plan B, possibly a straight knockout. But I can't honestly say that the idea of playing games behind closed doors has not been seriously considered at this stage, Chair. And I think it's a profound decision for the GAA to take if it has to take it. But I think it will only really come into sharp focus if it means no championship at all or a championship behind closed doors. And of course, as has been alluded to by some of the commentary this morning, I think it's a very, very different conversation to be had with our players if that was an ask of them. And, you know, it may be an unfair ask depending on amateurs. Sports people, depending on what their personal circumstances are.
100%, I think, and that's the part of this that is the great unknown, is like what players might actually be available. And again, so we had Professor Luke O'Neill on last week, and he actually was quite positive about the possibility of certainly local sport taking part again, where if you had the ban on groups of less than 100 meeting, then you could actually play matches. You might not be able to have supporters at matches, but you'd be able to at least play matches off. You'd at least be able to have training, and you'd be able to have competitive matches within training. And that's like the beginning of some sense of normality returning, but that's quite far away from having crowds and grounds. Is there a possibility of social distancing within bigger stadiums, where it might actually be fairly easy to maintain social distance, but you just cap crowds in Páirc Uí Chaoimh or in Croke Park, for example? Is that something that's been thought about?
It hasn't been considered in any serious way, but I think it's something that you'd have to engage experts on. I think terracing would be a challenge there, Ger, because it might be hard to police. I think practicing that in a stand situation might be something that's more realistic. But again, I'd be misleading you if I was to say that we've sat down and we've marked this out in any meaningful way. What we did last week was we announced that we couldn't see any inter-county games before the start of July. That means we've a 12-week window to now start looking at the things that you've just put to me. And I think everyone is really, really looking for a live sport, and we'd all love to have a championship to look forward to. But it has to be done in the right way and has to be approached in the right way. And as things stand at the moment, from some of the herd immunity stories that we've read this morning, I think we're still some distance away from being able to engage in that realistically. One story I picked up in recent weeks was the return to training of the Bayern Munich soccer players, and albeit it's in a professional setting, but the fact that the German authorities clusters, you know, there are glimmers of hope out there, but how that might transfer or manifest itself into an amateur sporting setting is different.
Yeah, I was just about to ask that actually, Alan, that there, as the weeks and months go by, there almost might be a reference point from either the Premier League or, as you say, the Bundesliga there. Have you started to think at all exactly how a behind closed doors situation would operate for, say, inter-county teams? Like, there just comes with a huge amount of complications. For my opinion, it's a situation where you think about the healthline workers, the people in the front line of the healthcare, and like those who are playing with inter-county teams and how they actually manage to kind of balance both things within their life. It just seems like an impossibility that while it will be a handy reference point if the Premier League gets back up and running in the next couple of weeks, it's not something that can just fit an amateur organisation.
No, we haven't considered it in any meaningful way, on, but I'll give you my own personal view on it. I think you could ask club players at certain levels to come and play club games without having to use dressing rooms. I'm not sure if you could ask inter-county players who train and prepare as well as they do to not enter a team scenario where 30 or 40 or 50 people are milling around the dressing room. And that's one distinct difference between inter-county and club. Even senior club, you could ask, well, hang on a second, we can't prepare properly if we can't be in a dressing room before and at halftime at a game. I think there'll be real difficulties at inter-county level, how you'd expect people to come together, whether it be at training or whether it be on a match day, and to not share facilities in terms of planning and pre-prep and all the rest of it that goes with inter-county, which is their elite level of Gaelic games. So, you know, there are real difficulties there. Now, whether or not this situation changes over the next 6 to 8 weeks, there's a lot being said about the need for a vaccine. I'm not a medical expert, but to me, those timeframes appear really, really short. And unless something drastic is going to happen, things look very, very challenging.
The other question I have, Alan, as well, is just how much of a financial hit this would take to the GAA. So obviously, the obvious situation is that if there's not people coming through the turnstiles, it's going to take a big financial hit. No question about that. And that, unfortunately, looks very, very likely this year. On the other side of things, then, if there are no games to be televised, for example, how much of a hit will that then take for the GAA? That's, it is almost like another double whammy of financial hits that the GAA might have to take. Could it be a serious situation where you're looking to kind of claw back some of the money with extra competition next year, perhaps?
Well, that's not, next year hasn't even entered the phrase. What we've done in that scenario is, and I think the Director General was out in front already and said that the season without games could cost the GAA 60 million euros. And we don't exist to make money, but like everybody else, you have to pay your bills. And we have a large network of people employed around the country promoting Gaelic games at grassroots level. And, you know, they'd be uppermost in our thoughts as well. I'd have to say the broadcasters and the sponsors up to this point have been hugely supportive and very understanding, and I think there's been a real sense of everybody being in this together. But there will come a time if we have no games to promote. Sponsors and partners can't work with us to promote those games and raise the awareness of games, and indeed broadcasters can't broadcast them. You're looking at a very, very grave scenario, because without games, we don't have anything else. It's what we do. It's games and culture. And while it's not as serious as what's going on out there, it's very, very serious to everybody who's involved with the GAA and who's employed by the GAA. So there are scenarios that are, you know, I seriously hope we don't have to comprehend, but we're duty bound to ensure that we prepare for them in case they do arise. As for next year on, it's just too far off at this stage. I think like we're in April. I think in the next 8 to 12 weeks, as we start to motor towards mid-July, if things begin to crystallise, I think a conversation about the possibility of having something to spill over into 2021 could feature in that conversation. The GAA, as you're probably aware, historically has a good track record in finishing championships late when it had to do so. I'm glad to say that was a long, long time ago, but I'm sure if we have to be flexible and we have to be creative in getting competitions played, no matter how we do it, we'll definitely look at that in earnest.
In fairness, like, it's not that long ago that we used to have the Winter League finishing in spring, so it wouldn't be that big a step for all of us to have a competition that started in Q4 this year and that rolled over and maybe finished on Paddy's Day or whatever, if that was a scenario. So, Alan, just to recap, in case anybody's just joined us, it's more likely that we'll have club games restarting first, assuming that it's safe to do so, right? And assuming that the government give the say-so. What kind of, is there any time frame where you're saying, okay, the 2020 inter-county season won't happen, or will you actually give yourselves until October, November, December? If something had to start at that point and it would technically be the 2020 season, would you do that?
I think 2020 as a season will be, we'll leave it as late as we possibly could to try and play. As you said, if it had to spill over into 2021, the CCCC will look at that, I'm sure. There has to be a twin approach to this, because you've got to remember, you've referenced the time when we used to have league games in the winter. I don't think the club championships at provincial or national level were as important. All of those things would have to come into the... but the club scene is extremely, extremely important, because while the inter-county game will affect about 1,900 players, I think if we could bring back the rhythm of life that many people's lives are lived through, the rhythm of sport, if we could bring that back to every town and village in Ireland, I think it would have a profound effect. Of course, that won't be our call, but as soon as the authorities give us the green light to start looking at that, I'm no doubt the county boards will spring into life and will have plans ready. Whether or not the counties themselves have to look at doing straight knockout competitions is another thing we could deliberate on. That will be up to them. But all I'd say, Ger, at this stage is that the GAA will try to be as flexible as it possibly can, both at county and at national level, to do everything that's possible to get as many games played that we can in this calendar year. These are unprecedented times, and those of us who lived through the foot and mouth situation would have thought it had serious impact on our schedules, but nothing we've ever encountered compared to this.
One last thing, obviously, clubs around the country have been very heavily involved in getting out and helping the elderly who are cocooning. It's been a hallmark, really, of the organisation since it started 5-6 weeks ago, that actually the small units within GAA clubs were very quick to respond to that. And I guess it must be a sense of immense pride to everybody involved from Croke Park that has actually been the case.
Yeah, it's been really, really heartening. You know, we talk about community a lot, and some people might question it sometimes, but it's really, the GAA is built on it. And I know we set up the Club Together scheme with Musgraves, which involves Centra and Super Value stores. But I know if we hadn't have done that, this would have happened organically anyway, because it's happening everywhere. Our community and health manager, Colin Regan, the former Leitrim footballer, is actually doing a survey at the moment with our county boards just to try and help us get a handle on the scale and the amount of activity that's going out there. And I just think it's fantastic that our clubs have stepped up to the plate in the way they have. It doesn't surprise me. It happens all the time. But I think at a time like this, when the nation needs it, and it's not just the GAA, Gerard, some of the fantastic organisations out there that have pressed pause on sport and diverted their energies into helping the country keep moving in a very different way. I think it's been very, very, it's heartening to see this. And I think people are having connections, and some people have had reboots and resets in their lives. And I hope these positive traits carry over into normal life when things return to normality, whatever that normality might look like whenever it happens.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be something different. Alan, thanks for joining us this morning. Really.
Anytime, Ger.
Really glad you took the time for us. Thank you. That's Alan Milton there, the GAA's Director of Communications, giving us some thoughts.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.